Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the American Journal. Second hour is on American Journal. Infowars.com, band.video. Steven Crowder posted a video yesterday afternoon. Poll judge login credentials found outside Dallas, Texas polling location on folded paper, including username, password, and election code. According to the Texas AG's office, it would either be for where you deposit the ballot at the counter or the e-poll book. Dallas County Elections Department, it's not supposed to be on the premises. We are not entirely sure of what we have here. We will continue to investigate. Here is the video. Poll judge finds login credentials outside Texas polling location on folded piece of paper. Let's watch.
Well, I'm working as a poll reader. I was going to check the count, and as I maybe about 20 feet from the door, I look down, piece of paper right here. So I pick it up and I open it, and it's got passwords for the election machines. And just to make sure that, you know, this was legitimate, I asked her, I said, hey, what's this? She said, yeah. She's like, that's the password to get into the poll books.
So can you show me this document?
This is the
that's the form.
That's the login information to get into the voting machines.
Good afternoon, Dallas County.
So I just wanted to call. I actually wanted to report an incident related to some information that I that was discovered outside of a polling location.
They found login credentials at a polling location.
And it was found outside of the polling location on the ground, a piece of paper folded up with, again, what looks to be like login credentials with a username, password, election code. Are you the right person to report that to?
Yes, I'm taking this down.
Oh, okay. Perfect. No problem.
What is your name, sir? Mr. Morgan, what is your phone number, please? I'm taking this information down, and I'm going to send a ticket out to that location. And we're going to investigate this to find out what exactly it belongs to.
Are you able to tell us, like, is this something, do all the judges, do they share all the same passwords? Has this been reported lost?
No. Okay. They don't. So that's why we need to know who they belong to.
Okay, so would it be easy enough in an investigation to isolate based on having the information? Like, if I were to give you all of the data, like, I can email it to you, take a picture to see if it's an individual who lost this?
Can you email it to us, please? No, let's do this other one that would go to the managers.
I mean, is information like this supposed to leave the building or even really be written down in the first place?
No, it's not supposed to be, especially found on the premises. No, sir.
We'll see if they do anything. My main concern is that I email it to somebody and then it just disappears.
It sounds like someone may have found something in a parking lot, possibly, that could have information for a coworker login. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
I will tell you, it would not be for the voting machine itself. It would either be for, like, the where you deposit the ballot, right? Like the counter or the e-poll book would be kind of the two places where you would have that potential login.
Did you say a poll book?
Yeah, an e-poll book, which is basically where you look up, like, the registration. Like, when you go to check in, the e-poll book is where they look you up.
Okay. Can you guys put any pressure on anybody there locally within Dallas County to get to the bottom of it?
Like, maybe so. Like, I mean, the thing is, like, I actually think that they will want to get to the bottom of it, too. Yeah, it would be easier to text it to me, you can text it to me, or if you want to send it by email, that is an option, too, or what's easiest for you.
I just want to escalate this to the right people appropriately and then get to the bottom of it, really. Like, I'd like for us to know, like, okay, there's an investigation being done. We will find out what happened because this is just the kind of stuff that people can run with. So honestly, I think voters would really appreciate this is for you guys to be able to somehow connect with the right person. Because I think it's not necessarily putting pressure. I said that earlier. What I really meant was, like, is there somebody you can call and say, hey, this is important. Can you look into this? Because I've called the general helpline and I'm sure there's a bunch of nuts that call that, you know, and say different things about it. So about the election, so they're trying to sort through that. But I just want to be able to talk to somebody, get this information in their hands, let them do what they need to do with it, and put it to bed. So that's what I'm really looking for. So
cool. Yeah, I will get that going, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, thank you very much, Alicia. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, rest easy, everybody. They're on it.
A voting.
They'll do it. Don't worry. They'll figure it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I say I'm excited about bringing you The Ultimate Gut Cleanse, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm not joking around. We don't sit there and shoot in the dark. We go out and we find what are already the best-selling, highest-rated products in the country, and we say, hey, we'd like to private label it, but we'd like you to make it a little bit stronger for us, so it's proprietary. You got it right here. The Ultimate Gut Cleanse. This is not just a gut cleanse. It's not just a detox. It doesn't just have natural ingredients that gently get rid of parasites. Oh, it's got that covered. It's then got a whole bunch of stuff in it, like saw palmetto, that's good for all your glands, and even the government admits great for men's prostates. And it goes on and on. I cannot read all the ingredients. They're concentrated. They're incredible. You want to get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com for between 30 and 50% off. 50% off if you do the combo and get it with the Ultimate Probiotic.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to continue to talk about the war going on here in the United States. Battles cropping up across the country. The war between the cheaters and liars and schemers in the Democratic Party and the Republicans trying desperately to just have a fair election, just be able to know who the people that are actually in this country they actually want. It is a true warlike conflict taking place. Chief Trumpster put together a gigantic thread about this. I retweeted it yesterday. If you want to find it, you can go to my Twitter at Harrison H. Smith or Chief Trumpster at Chief Trumpster. Free and fair election, voters sent away early, machine glitches, ballot issues, lawsuits, and password leaks. This thread will cover ongoing voter issues impacting the 2024 election. On October 29th, voters in PA swing state were sent home early at 1:45 compared to the mandated time of closing 4:30. Trump sued over that and actually was able to get it reversed. We do not know where the order to close early voting came from. We do not know the chain of command in this matter or why police enforce an illegal closure of early voting. Will there be any consequences for this? Doubtful. Just mean posts and fake apologies. Of course, this was actually confronted by the RNC, who got an order that polls are now going to be opened an extra day and even longer to deal with that. But again, it's asking the same question I was asking. We showed this video. Who are these police and why are they, like, who is ordering them to break the law and why are they doing it? It just makes no sense to me. It's baffling. Thankfully, Trump War Room sued and the county was forced to offer additional days of early voting due to the illegal early closures. So good on them. Sadly, the Pennsylvania problems don't end there. In Levittown, Pennsylvania, voters were turned away from early voting. Then workers said to trust them to hand their votes to them, and they will definitely run it in the machine later. Know your rights. Stay in line. The voting issues extended beyond swing states, unfortunately. In Kentucky, electronic voting machines would not let a voter select real Donald Trump. The vote went to Kamala instead, another reason why electronic voting machines are susceptible to problems that hand counting isn't. Michigan voter assist terminals had issue with splitting votes. They admitted this goes beyond Michigan. Officials said it's not possible to fix the programming for the affected VATs this close to the election, but note the issue will be corrected for future elections. So don't worry about it. Everything's under control. While officials claim they're upset about VATs having the programming issue, they cannot fix it for the deadline. This is a nationwide Dominion machine issue. What does accountability look like? Weird. Electronic voting machines in California do not display Trump's name unless you click more. Robert Kennedy Jr. is listed despite dropping out and endorsing real Donald Trump. While this may seem small, it's an extra step for voters to take. If they don't see the more button, they may think these are their only options. In Nevada County, California, an ink spray error with ballot printers impacted over 77,000 ballots. They were not able to be read accurately. Concerning, how many more errors aren't we hearing about? We played that video yesterday. Mail-in ballots are already being reported as missing. Washington voter ballots have disappeared in the mail. At least 200 or 300 voters have been affected. It's unclear if they will ever be recovered or the actual number of disenfranchised voters. In addition to mailed ballots not being received, there are reports of fraudulent mailed ballots in Pennsylvania. 30 irregular forms were found in Monroe County. One involved a deceased person, a Democrat voter. This is the third county reporting this in Pennsylvania. In Indiana, a voter tried to cast his vote. Turns out a mail-in ballot was returned from him already. He says, quote, I got up to the clerk, gave him my ID. They said, wait a minute,
says here that you requested, received, and returned a mail-in ballot, and I was like, no, I didn't. That's not good. And again, the poll workers are trained to allow them to fill out a provisional ballot and then count the mail-in ballot anyway, even though they didn't send it in. This isn't an isolated issue. There are many reports of voters showing up to voting stations to find out they, quote, voted already. I'm guessing their vote was cast not for Trump. And again, you wonder how many people are choosing not to vote, and so we'll never go to the voting, to the polling place, and we'll never be told that they voted already. How many people out there have votes in their names on the books being tabulated, having been sent in through mail-in ballots, that actually never voted? We'll never know, because the system was designed to be impossible to look into. I mean, there's no way of knowing. You just have a bunch of mail-in ballots. Somebody sent them back. Somebody filled them out. And so they count them. When the person shows up and says, no, I didn't, they go, well, too bad. We're counting the mail-in ballot anyway. It's crazy, but that's what's happening. Okay. It was designed this way. The system has been designed to not allow an audit to take place or the reality of the vote to be made clear. It's just that's how it's designed. This is why we need stricter voting laws, ID mandates, and further protections to be sure our votes are being counted and not being stolen. This woman is one of many who are victims of this. Same type of thing. Somebody voting on her behalf. There have been misprints of ballots reported in Wisconsin, a swing state. Notice the vertical text in the way of selecting Trump has the choice for president. This isn't present for Kamala. How many more ballots are like this? I know we've seen other things with, I wonder if he'll have it in this thread. Yeah, this is it. Additionally, there have been reports of Trump's name being spelled incorrectly. In Virginia, a swing state, notice how Trump has his name spelled Triumph. Triumph. So there's an I in the middle of Trump. Does that mean the vote will go to Trump or that it will not be counted? We don't know. A simple mistake or a deliberate subversion? It's impossible to tell. It's impossible to know. It has to be treated like subversion just for the safety and continual trust we have to have in our elections. This stuff has to be rooted out. And it doesn't matter. At a certain point, it doesn't matter whether it was an accident or on purpose. Every single time, these bizarre glitches, these strange accidents, this accidental misspelling all happens to disadvantage Trump. It's on purpose. It's by design. Let's keep going. In the most secure election ever, according to the head of CISA, over 98,000 marked American citizens lacked proper documentation of citizenship. A suit forced the Secretary of State to release the list. Why would Democrats be opposed to verifying voters are legal? So this was a decision made last night. I'll blow it up here. Defendants shall release to the plaintiff the original list of approximately 98,000 affected voters as specifically identified in this case. So basically, they were trying to withhold this list of people who did not prove that they were citizens. Now they've been forced to release it. However, the deadline is noon, Monday, November 4th. So who knows if there will even be time to act on this. We don't know. COVID lunacy has struck Washington State. Auditor Sheila Kreider refused to let observers monitor part of the election process if they didn't wear an ineffective mask. The hilarious part, the reporter and a counter in a mask-only zone were not wearing masks. This was another thing that they did in 2020 in the exact same video with the Detroit leaks, where they explain how if you have a mail-in ballot and somebody comes in and says, I never sent in a mail-in ballot, then you have them fill out a provisional ballot, and then you throw the provisional ballot away and you count the mail-in ballot. When that was explained as official training protocol to the poll workers in Detroit, they were also trained on and explained to them how they could use COVID to avoid oversight. That if a poll watcher was coming too close for comfort and was actually able to see what was going on, then you could, you know, shout 12-foot distancing rule and force them to move to a point where they can't actually observe what you're doing anymore. And if they refuse to do that or say that's not valid or say I am 6 feet away, if they argue with you at all, then you can label them as being combative. You can call the security and get them kicked out. So any poll watcher that actually wanted to watch the polls, any, you know, volunteer that actually wanted to do their job was prevented from doing it by the COVID protocols. And if they refused to follow those, then they would be kicked out. So only the good, obedient, and useless poll watchers would be allowed. So, I mean, all of these things, this was in official training caught on undercover audio They were trained to use COVID to avoid oversight, and they're just doing what they were trained to do still here in 2024, 4 years after COVID is even a thing. Only the most secure election in history might would have passwords, codes, and other information out in the open. Right in Dallas, the video we just showed you, Steven Crowder found poll judge login credentials with username, password, and election code just laying on the ground. And there's the receipt showing the password and the election code. The biggest 2024 election integrity blunder goes to the Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, partisan Trump hater that tried to take his name off the ballot, by the way. The Colorado Secretary of State left voting machine passwords on an official government website up until the issue became public. And that was something that we didn't touch on yesterday when we talked about this, was the fact that they leaked the passwords. The passwords have been public for 5 days, and yet the Secretary of State office hadn't said anything publicly about it. They knew it had happened, but they didn't make an announcement. They didn't admit it. They didn't say what was going on until somebody else discovered it, made it public, and forced the Secretary of State to respond. If not for that, these passwords would be out there. Bad actors could be taking advantage of them, and the Secretary of State would have never even admitted that this had taken place. And of course, it took place in 2020 as well under the same woman. And we actually have more stories about that as well, as we got to compare the actual password blunder from Jenna Griswold versus the fabricated password breach charges that were used against Tina Peters and put her in jail for 9 years. So we'll touch on that in just a little bit, but let's just keep going down the list, right? So far we've got glitches and shutting down the election, the voting early, and mail-in ballots filled out for people that they don't actually belong to, and other mail-in ballots going missing, and illegals signed up and on the voter rolls until the Republicans intervene and get them taken off. And all of these are just the ones that we know. I mean, these are the apprehended in custody and then let out into the country immigrants. These aren't the gotaways, right? So the gotaway voter fraud could be massive. We don't know. It's impossible to know. We don't know what we don't know. The key point is that the Colorado Secretary of State knew of this important password leak. They kept it up until the public heard about it. This is a very serious matter. The Trump campaign correctly labeled this a class 5 felony. Jenna Griswold must be charged. All these issues are just what we've heard about online and in the media. There are definitely more issues. You can DM Chief Trumpster to get these things added to the list. But a very, very thorough, if not fully complete, thread of voter fraud from Chief Trumpster. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And then you have CISA, the head of the Cyber Security Administration in America, saying this is the most secure election ever anywhere in the world in history. Amazing. Isn't it all amazing? Let's go to a few more clips of J.D. Vance on Joe Rogan, because again, there's really some very interesting stuff to be gleaned from this. Let's go to clip number 12 here. This is J.D. Vance talking about that whole Trump assassination thing, you know, where he was shot in the face by a sniper. J.D. Vance has some suspicions about this. Let's watch.
Indication yet.
Yeah,
I maybe haven't read it as closely as you have, so don't take that as gospel
you're
truth.
Probably you have access to more information, but maybe you can't talk about it.
Trust me. There's nothing about this that I have access to information I can't talk about.
Well, there was a lot of weird stuff to it. One of them is that his where he lived was professionally scrubbed. So he got there. There was no silverware. There's no silverware.
That's
the place
bizarre.
Is scrubbed.
Right?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no, yeah. No DNA, no hard drives, no nothing.
Well, so and how do you get that close? I mean, yeah. Do you shoot guns?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a pretty good shot. I served in the Marine Corps for 4 years. An AR-15 from 140 yards away is
chip
a pot
shot. Even without a scope. He didn't have a scope,
yeah,
right?
I don't believe he had a scope.
But even without a scope.
Without a scope. I mean, yeah. I've shot an M16 many times and an AR-15 without a scope. There is no – it is shocking that he's alive.
Yeah.
Right? It really is. I'm a person of faith, but I think it's a genuine miracle that guy didn't kill him. But how did he get so close? There's a lot of really big questions.
Well,
that we
he was
be
walking
asking.
Around the area with a range finder before the event,
and people were yelling and saying, this
"He's on the roof."
Got a gun.
Yeah.
He's on the roof.
Yeah,
you know, there was that crazy. I think it was a BBC reporter, somebody with an English accent, who did the report on the ground with the guy. you know, he's like got a MAGA hat on and a Bud Light. He's, you know, probably not a Bud Light. He's got some beer and he's talking to this guy who saw Crooks get on the roof and he's yelling at him. It's an amazing clip. He's yelling at him like, hey, he's yelling at police officers saying, hey, this guy's on the roof, go and get him. And nobody responded to it. And it's, the whole thing is very fishy to me. And I hope that we win and then get to the bottom of it, because I think somebody clearly screwed up.
The whole thing's very fishy. I hope we win and can get to the bottom of it. I mean, that's what's at stake here. Are we ever going to get the truth about Trump assassinations? Are we ever going to get the truth from our government ever again if the liberals win? Because what they want is not uncertain. You know, we don't have to guess what it's going to be like. We know. We've been living in it. And they've been telling us what their plans are. I mean, why do you think they're setting up the groundwork, laying the groundwork for, you know, disinformation boards to decide what is and is not information worthy of being spread? They want us living in a world where the actions of the government, the decisions made, the outcomes of the policies are all completely hidden behind an opaque barrier of official secrecy. Or we can have an open, honest, and forthright government that actually tells us the truth in an effort to make things better. Because this is the constant. We'll go to one more clip of J.D. Vance just to close out his conversation with Rogan. But like all of these things are associated, because after that we're going to play a clip of Elon Musk talking about how they're deliberately trying to turn America into a one-party state, which is completely possible and the end of America as we know it. And it would be the Democratic state. And this is what's at stake, whether we have a government that has veto power over your speech and can silence you and hide the outcome of investigations. And it also, we're also going to, you know, play a clip of the opposite possibility, like the actual thing we can really do. And we will, I'll explain that in just a second. Let's go to J.D. Vance saying the entire modern Democrat Party grew up in an era where there was consensus. Now they basically are just agents of chaos. Let's watch.
That's what's happened with a lot of old school liberals is they said, yeah, you know, we don't care what you do in your bedroom, but we believe in the fundamental right of people to speak their mind, and the Democrats just don't believe in that anymore.
So
and I've thought a lot about like what's, you know, what is going on there and what's driving it psychologically. And I think what's going on is the entire modern Democratic Party grew up in an era where there was consensus, right? Walter Cronkite could say something about the Vietnam War. And it turned out he's probably right about that, actually. And it collapsed public support for the Vietnam War. Where they grew up in America where social trust was just so much higher. And I think that a lot of them are trying to reimpose that social trust on from the top, not recognizing that that high level of social trust came organically
right
from the way that American society worked. And if you have people trying to reimpose it from the top, it actually degrades the very thing that you're trying to create. Because I've seen, I mean, family members of mine who got really radicalized because they were like, wait a second, should we be masking 3-year-olds in our schools? Like, does
right
that do something to their language development? And then they would get kicked off of Facebook because a person with 900 Facebook friends who has no public profile dared to like question the prevailing narrative. And again, they ended up being right about it. I actually think that what the left is doing is degrading social trust by trying to create it from on high. And I kind of get the psychological impulse because, you know, like a lot of great things that we do come from high levels of social trust, but you've got to reestablish it organically. You can't try to force it on people.
That's such a brilliant interpretation from J.D. Vance. Again, this is why he's like the perfect partner for Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump couldn't really explain it the way that he did. I'm sure he gets it. J.D. Vance has a way of explaining it. You can't force societal trust from on high. It just doesn't work. It especially doesn't work when the people in power on high blatantly abuse their power, lie constantly. Like they want to impose trust But really what they want is you to stop questioning their lies. They want you to trust them even though they're lying. So it doesn't really work regardless. But also, you know, I would say that you've got to fold that argument into the immigration argument and recognize that it was the American people that trusted each other and created a culture by which you could leave your door open at night and it was fine, or you could have a handshake agreement with somebody with the assumption that they weren't going to double cross you for some immediate gain. And that's not really the world outside of America or Western Europe. I should have grabbed the clip, but there's a South Korean streamer that went to India. He just gets scammed like 10 times in one day. Like, it's amazing. Literally, he goes to the hotel where he has a room booked, and they're like, no, we don't have your booking. And he gets all frustrated, but, you know, just loses out on the money. So he goes to a different hotel and they scam him and steal his money and say that you can't have, you know, actually we're not allowed to take foreigners here. And by the end of it, he's literally like on a train, just crying, just being like, I'm not going to be able to, like, I'm stuck here. I'll never be able to get out. We talked about it with Leonardo Joni. She was telling the story about the woman whose husband got injured or got bitten by a snake in India. And they just like did nothing to help him, like took him away in an ambulance, didn't tell her where it was. And then just like later she had to go and be like, where's my husband? They're like, oh, he died. Like the rest of the world, like it's understood that people are going to be scammed. Mexico, Italy, like anywhere I've been other than America, you have to constantly be on your guard of getting scammed. Like Americans that maybe don't recognize, like don't realize like how special America is. I've told the story before, like being in Italy, and they just want to get a little extra. They just want to scam you a little bit more. And it happens when Americans can speak Italian, and they go. It happens all the time where, you know, sunglasses, you know, 50 euro, and the person will say in Italian, I just heard you tell that person they were 20, and the Italian person will go, oh, you speak Italian, yeah, they're 20. Yeah, actually, they're just 20. I said 50 because I thought you were a stupid American. I was going to scam you. Like, it's like just an assumed thing in not Western European American countries. I mean, obviously, Italy is, but, you know, they're a little on the edge there. But that's what I'm saying. Even in the other Western countries, getting scammed, getting tricked, having one pulled over on you, like, that's a very regular thing. In Mexico, you just assume you're going to have to bribe everybody, right? It's just an assumed thing. If you want to open a restaurant, you're going to have to grease the palm of the local government. If you get pulled over, you're going to have to grease the palm of the cop. It's just assumed. It's understood everywhere else. We don't live in a world like that in America. You're not supposed to do that. We all understand that. So when J.D. Vance is talking about, you know, a lack of trust, I'd say tie that into immigration and go, look, we can't bring in 50 million people from low trust societies, from societies where scamming each other or abusing your power and if you're in a position of authority, taking bribes, like these things are normalized and practically everywhere else. America, in a miraculous combination, in a unique time and unique people in history and on the world, we created a nice, honest, forthright, upfront culture is being destroyed from within by people at the top who want to destroy it for their own nefarious purposes, and people from cultures who think that we're all just suckers for being so trusting and trustworthy.
They're coming after everybody. They're coming after Trump. They're coming after Kennedy. We need your support, and you don't even come here and do this.
Alex, first of all, I want to thank you. Give to Alex Jones. I don't want this guy to have to be, like, wearing a symbol, and we're all going to say, you know, the truth teller formerly known as Alex Jones. Let's not let that happen.
But, oh, they're trying to make an example out of me. I'm not that important, but I've become a rallying point. I've become like a Roman standard they want to capture. Explain that. You're...
Look, I mean, if we don't have freedom of speech, if you don't have the First Amendment, if, you know, media, which is, look, it never said only newspapers or the media. It was anyone that wants to challenge government, anyone that's willing to, you know, put the feet to the fire of corporate interests of your government, that is supposed to be free.
Electronic soapbox.
In the end, if you lose, Alex, we all lose. We will all lose the ability to do tough stories, to take risks, to plant flags where we think there's an issue. Sometime we'll get it wrong. I said before, you do a daily show. It's impossible to nail that to the wall. I do a weekly show. I spend more time vetting it. They're two different animals. They can't be compared to each
other. They also take stuff out of context and exaggerate.
Absolutely, that's true. You know, one of the things that makes you so spectacular, Alex, is long before any of us were here, you were starting to talk about this deep state. You were talking about this, you know, a government that was supposed to be of, for, and by the people, that was being robbed from us by corporate interests, by special interests, by globalists, long before anybody else ever did. And to imagine you sitting here in this moment, we are in that impactful moment. And in many ways, not enough people are listening to you. And I want to say that, you know, I think the vaccine, and we've talked about this before, that was the tip of the spear of the final death blow, which was, if we can inject you and own your bodies and own the bodies of your children and pass laws that say that, you know, because of vaccinations, we've decided that we own your children. We make your decision.
That's a revolutionary takeover.
It was a revolutionary takeover. And so people like me got alarmed by that. And we joined forces with people like you that have been really talking about it for a long time. But I would say that we're at the very last stage. I was just speaking publicly, and this woman said, things don't happen that fast, Dale. You're being really dramatic. I don't think this election matters that much. I was like, that's because you're looking at this over the last year, maybe 2 years. There's people like Bobby that's been fighting the corporate establishment for 40 years as a lawyer, that watched his father when he was 13 years old be killed for exactly this battle.
And his
exactly
uncle.
This fight, and his uncle when he was 10 years old. So depending on what window you look at this, we're really at the end stage of a takeover and destruction of the one thing that stands in the way of globalist thinking, which is the Constitution of the United States of America.
They're doing all these lawsuits trying to take my name. People say they can't do that. Well, I got to defend those. We're going to win. We're already winning. The judge shut them down last week. That took high-powered lawyers and that, you know, 50 grand right there to have those briefs ready, okay? This is total war. We make it easy. Great supplements, great t-shirts, great everything. Go to the alexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP member. You get 40 bucks free a month. For 30 bucks, you make 10 bucks on that. It reminds you to go back to the store. Incredible supplements, the ultimate CMOS, superfood. It's all there at the Alex Jones Store. TheAlexJonesStore.com. My dad's great supplement company, DrJonesNaturals.com. That's how we're funding this operation. Separate from InfoWars, you go there, you get t-shirts, you get ball caps, you spread the word, you meet like-minded people, you're a walking billboard for freedom, it's a great adventure, and you know you're funding our operation. We need funds, and I'll go on the offense and just hope the money comes in, but we're going on the offense. We caught them, we got the documents, I told you I'll sue the CIA and FBI. Get ready, first steps start this week, and the enemy already knows, so but I need money to do it. And look, I don't even think about my life or any of that. That doesn't matter. I'm on this mission. I love it. This is great. But I need funds to fight a war. TheAlexJonesStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. Those are the coordinates of the resistance. It's all there, and it's great products at great prices, highest quality, and it funds the fight against the New World Order that's coming down on us with both damn feet. But at least we're in the fight, and we're starting to win.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Tim Vetter and Fani Matravati. Tim Vetter is an engineer, data expert, and co-founder of CheckMyVote.org. Since 2020, he's volunteered countless hours for various election integrity organizations, and recently he has identified a litany of irregularities in Michigan, which Gateway Pundit has covered extensively. We talked about it yesterday. We're going to get the inside scoop here today. You can follow Tim on X at Tim Loves Ann, and on Rumble, Tim Loves Ann. That's A-N-N. Thanks so much for joining us, Tim and Fani.
Thank you
for having us on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for the work that you've done. The story we covered yesterday, and I'm glad you're on to get some insight into how this actually happened and what this actually means. From Gateway Pundit, Michigan early vote shocker, election integrity data analyst claims they have proof of 208,075 ballots cast by 82,674 voters. That's an excess of 125,428 votes cast. So tell me, how did you figure this out? Just walk us through what this actually means, because you hear this and you just think, how is that even possible? How can you have 82,000 voters casting 200,000 votes? Like, what happened here, Tim?
What happened is a mistake. They're calling it a glitch, where this kind of information that's happening on the back end just happened to get through their firewall, and it got published in the Daily Absentee Report. That's where Fani and I picked up on this information, and as well as other sources. You know, we're not the only ones that find this type of public information coming from the Secretary of State. So it's a very simple process. On our side, we quality check the data that comes to us. And when we're finding duplicate voter IDs in a list that should only have one voter ID, that's a red flag.
So that's wild. So you've got one voter ID, and then, but are they listed multiple times in different votes? And I understand y'all had to do some FOIA requests to actually get this information. How did you find this information? Like, what was the first thing that tipped you off? What was the first thing you saw that you thought, well, wait, that number's not right? Fani, if you can sort of walk us through, because I know both of you guys, you did this independently and then sort of peer reviewed each other's work, right? Explain to me how y'all worked together to come to this conclusion.
Yes, thank you. So I have a standing FOIA request that produces a daily absentee voter report from the day absentee ballots start getting mailed out, September 23rd in Michigan. So every day we get that file. Then we get two files, actually. One file that actually lists all the people who have received a ballot but have not returned it yet. Mm-hmm. And the second file is a file that's named Daily Ballots Cast. And that file contains a list of all the voter IDs who have returned their ballot. And there's a column in that file that says vote recorded date. And each row in that file is associated with a voter ID. Now, at Check My Vote, and you know, Tim and I, as we work together now and then, we do look for very glaring anomalies. And it's simple common sense things like, hey, you know what, if you're looking at a voter ID in a daily ballots cast report, well, common sense states that there has to be only one row per voter ID for a given election. Of course, this is the November 5th election talking about, because this FOIA is specific to the November 5th election. So Tim found out that there were the same voter IDs listed multiple times, sometimes up to 29 times. There were five times or six times. That would just jumped out right out of the the screen for us, really. And I also was parallelly looking at that, but not really into the detail that Tim was. But when Tim tipped me off on that, I said, okay, let's both look at it together. And we confirmed our analysis that there are indeed 82,647 voter IDs, unique voter IDs, that have in total casted 208,647, or but I don't know the exact number, but yeah, 200,000 excess right. Votes. So
it's a giant disparity, right? It's crazy that our system has vulnerabilities that would allow something like this. And they show in this Gateway Pundit article, I'm sure you provided to them, an example of one voter ID used 29 times to vote in Detroit. One ID 29 times with 19 different addresses. So and then you can actually see, you know, the vote count here, and the all of these votes are recorded all on the same day. So how did this come about? Do you have any knowledge, like, were there 29 different ballots all sent in? Was the same ballot counted 29 different times? Do you have any idea about that? Or is it possible to glean that from the data that you guys have uncovered?
Well, unfortunately, the first question I had was, do each one of those 29 entries in the daily ballots cast file have a same ballot ID and ballot number or different? Because up until August primary, we used to get this FOIA fulfillment data that contained this very important data field, which if we had it now, we would have been able to tell whether each one of those entries received a different ballot. Because if the ballot IDs are different across those 29 rows, then that's like, yep, why were there 29 ballots sent? But we don't have that data field. And I have been trying to get that field from the BOE. They haven't given it to me. Two follow-up emails later, I paid extra fees for the second follow-up FOIA fee, where the UOCAVA field was missing, ballot address field was missing, which is very important because we want to see where the ballot is being sent as part of our work. We want to see where the ballot is being sent for the absentee voter. That was missing. There was application sent and application received fields. Those two were missing, and I had to send a follow-up email to get them, but had to pay extra fee, of course. But then this ballot ID is missing. If we had that, that would have been our next step to see if there are know the ballot IDs are the same or different. So to answer your question, I cannot say that their ballots were counted or were there many ballots or not. Maybe there is only one, but the question remains because we don't have enough transparency in terms of the data being released to us, public data that being released to us. If we had that data, we'd be able to audit that too.
And
Harrison, and, if I could also add.
Yeah, please. I was going to ask you about this because I know you're quoted in the Gateway Pundit talking about the lack of transparency in this election in particular.
Absolutely. Transparency as well as auditability,
right.
Because like Fani was saying, they've always provided this information in the past. Why did they stop giving us the important information that's vital to auditing the absentee ballot tracking process? Everyone in Michigan knows that there's potential issues that can happen with absentee ballots. There's very little chain of custody as ballots are mailed out and ballots are tried to return back through the mail system. There's so many different ways that the chain of custody can be breached. So it's important that we as data people are able to audit that, and they have taken that away for this election. And for me personally, I call that election interference because we no longer have the ability to confirm whether these ballots are being properly sent and received. There's many additional fields that are missing that they have traditionally provided in the past.
Yeah, and that's so true. And did they give a reason why they're excluding these things? Because again, you're quoted in the Gateway Pundit, you know, talking about how, you know, in the 2020 election, this was fine. Up until now, it's been fine. But now they've just completely removed transparency for this election. Have they even offered a reason why, or they just did it and you're just having to deal with the fallout?
Well, there has been a constant chipping away at this transparency aspect. Now, I want to go back to the March 2024, because this is not related to the absentee reports, but there is another standing FOIA that I've got monthly on the first or the first week of every month. I get the qualified voter file. Up until February 2024, there is a special field in the history file of the voter file of Michigan that indicates whether someone voted absentee or in person or early. Now, we used to get that until February, but March, effective March of this year, they stopped giving us that field. And I proceeded to file a lawsuit, which is an active case in the court of claims. We've had two hearings already. But the point here is, well, the argument being offered from their side is that, well, if there is only one person that votes in early voting, for example, in a precinct, and based on that, if I can go to the precinct reporting results and see how many votes that certain candidate got, and there was only obviously one person voted, right? Mm-hmm. I'd be able to glean or deduce from those two data points whether that individual voted absentee or whether that individual voted to which candidate, right? Because there's only one vote. So it violates their constitutional right to secret ballot, which I totally agree with. I respect that. But that only occurs in about 2% of the cases. So there were only 161 precincts in the entire state of Michigan. To give you a little perspective on that, there are 4,500 precincts in Michigan, approximately 4,534. Mm-hmm. So that's about 2% maybe. So for want of protecting the constitutional right of 2% of the people, they're redacting the entire 100% of the file, which is what our argument is. Well, at least release us the 98% that, you know, we can't violate the secret constitutional right secret ballot. So that's an ongoing case. That's one aspect of it. So that is their excuse on that, or stated reason, I'd say. But the absentee stuff, the exemption I got, the reason I got for not giving us these fields, initially there was no reason. They just did not give it to me. And I was too busy to ask. I waited a week or two, and then I asked, and then they said, oh, ballot ID is a non-responsive record. In common man's terms, non-responsive record means they don't have it. And we are getting reports from various volunteers of Check My Vote that they're saying that these ballots do not have numbers on them. Some of them that are being scanned, they don't have numbers on them. I've got people who are actually texting me about this. And I said, well, I don't know what to do about that because I'm not in the operational aspect of it. I'm a data guy. I just look at the database and tell you what I find. But that's really probably why they're not able to give it. But the whole idea about a ballot not having a ballot number, I don't know. Every dollar bill you have has a number on it, which is supposed to be unique.
No, that's
That's crazy. So there's, because, and this seems like it seems deliberate, but clearly the outcome is there is no way, as Tim, you pointed out, it's unauditable, right? You can't audit this. You can't actually determine whether a vote cast was from the right person. What's being done about this? I know you've launched lawsuits, but it seems like as we're covering it in real time, you know, claims of voter fraud or some sort of malfeasance crop up, and the RNC is deploying people to, you know, get orders to reverse whatever problems that they're seeing. Is anything being done with this? Is there anything to do with this? Is the RNC aware of this? Do you know what the next step is in trying to, you know, figure out whether this is a big problem in the, you know, security of the election, and then what to do about it? Like, do y'all have any idea of what comes next in this regard?
Well, what I can say is that Laura Trump put out a tweet that said they have investigated the issue with the massive duplicates that was part of the tracking system that Fani was describing, and that everything is good. Well, Fani and I are saying, no, everything is not good. There's so much data manipulation going on in the back end. All we get are some of the evidence that they failed to keep under wraps. I sent you some information since Fani was talking about the fact that back in February, they stopped giving us absentee and in-person. That was because we were documenting them flipping votes from in-person to absentee in the vote history file.
Wow.
And I provided this podcast a graphic that shows six different ways that they're manipulating vote history. Keep in mind, think about your bank account. You log in.
Mm-hmm.
You check all your transaction records. You don't expect those to change in the past.
Right.
But with our, when we certify a vote, an election, they should be locking down our vote history that they have certified, and that should never change.
Right.
And the problem that's going on with our vote history records, and this is a felony, it's stated in Michigan that you change vote history records after certification, that's a felony. But yet we have to the tune of millions and millions of changes happening all the time, modifying where we voted, when we voted, votes just showing up out of the blue, switching how we voted from in-person to absentee. We have all this evidence of wrongful activity, and there should be zero changes.
Wow. Yeah, and you're right. It's so strange that we're trusting the fate of our country to an election process that is actually less secure than your credit card or your bank account. I mean, it doesn't seem like it'd be so hard to, you know, have a system that is reliable and trustworthy. We do it every day with, you know, very big, you know, life threatening issues. But in this case, apparently everything is up in the air. Everything gets changed constantly. Nobody's held to account. It's clearly there's something by design here. I know we have a 2-minute video. I'm not sure if that's the graphic you were talking about, but we can play this video. And I know you want to talk over and sort of describe what we're seeing here. So if we can do that, let's go to this video and tell us what we're looking at.
Absolutely.
We're bringing it in right now. So why don't you set up for us what we're going to see here?
Absolutely. So what you're about to play is a video I just posted this morning because I'm trying to help communicate to the American people a lot of this data manipulation that is happening on a month-by-month basis. This is going to be an example going back to 2019. And it happens ever since Jocelyn Benson got into office. This is the kind of data manipulation that's happening with our vote history records.
Right.
Is the video queued up and ready to go?
No, it's still getting pulled in. I think we might be re-encoding it for our machine. But since you mentioned Jocelyn Benson, I mean, we did a big segment on her yesterday. We showed a video from about 6 months ago where she's saying that she and the six other secretaries of state of the six other swing states have been working together since 2020, collaborating together to face a common enemy that is Donald Trump. I mean, is it that she showed up and all these problems got started? And do you think there's some correlation or causation to that correlation?
I can't speak to that. All I can speak to is the data. That's my background. I can say that since she got into office in January 2019, we have received chain of custody from the Secretary of State, this data, and this data tells a story. You could see how from the day one, they flooded the voter rolls with registrations. There were people that voted six times in January of 2019. And then they figured out after a year that, oh my gosh, we got so many duplicates in our vote history file. Then in 2020, they started to overclean it. You got people like Gretchen Whitmer, who had her vote history records scrubbed. Over a million voters in Michigan had active voters, people like me and many other individuals, their vote history records were wiped clean for almost a year. And then you start seeing over time many other occurrences of votes flipping from in-person to absentee. You see double votes. That's exactly what you're showing now. It's just shocking. What you see here is the fact that you have the same election day and you have two different types of voting. The reason, and what I want you to notice is in the absentee voter column, they no longer give us that information. They don't want us to know that they're flipping those votes and they don't want us to know that there's double votes. When we exposed all this back in February, they wiped clean that data. I think it's very coincidental.
I think it's coincidental, too. Yeah, you don't have to comment on that. We will. I'm very suspicious of the actions of these people. Now, we do have that video ready, so we'll go ahead and play that, and you can narrate for us over top. So here's the video now.
Thank you. So what you're looking at here is I'm showing in SQL, this is the raw data that we get from the Secretary of State. The very top line is showing that it's from 2019, January of 2019. The second line, which is commented out, is October of 2019. So it's 10 months later. And what you're going to see with this is that when I run that query, I'm going to be showing over in the right side, is absentee voter, you see no's and yeses, N for no, Y for yes. So N represents that this individual is voted in person. Right. Am I an absentee voter? N for no. So I voted in person. And what I'm highlighting here is it's the election date of November 2018. Right. So in 2018, I voted in person. Now, what you're going to notice is I'm going to go up and I'm going to flip this. I'm going to write the query again. And I'm going to comment out that, and I'm going to run the exact same query in October. Now, watch what happens to that election date, November 2018. When I run that query, did you see it flip from no to yes? So this is just one example of thousands and thousands that I can give where they're flipping these votes. Now, keep in mind that this is what gets past their firewall.
Right.
They have so much data manipulation happening on the back end that they can't control it. A lot of this leaks out and it ends up in our vote history records. So, you know, we get what they publish, and what they're publishing to us is completely inaccurate information. And I say completely with confidence because they have algorithms in there that not only change how we voted, but they're changing where we voted. I voted in Oakland County, and then if I move to Wayne County, all my vote history records are now Wayne County.
Wow.
And what's challenging about that is that prevents our ability to audit any past elections. And what's even more damaging about this is even though the statewide data says incorrectly where I voted, if I go to my local clerk, I can see the accurate information of where I voted. So the information is not even in sync.
So it really is. It's just making it impossible to know whether a vote is valid or where that is wild. So I think I get it. So the same registry from January and October, it should have the same information, but clearly in those 10 months at some point, Somebody went into what is supposed to be the permanent ledger and changed, you know, backdated, changed former entries to something else for some reason.
It gets worse. It gets worse. Listen to this. For 2 years in 2019 and 2020, this was not an issue.
Right.
When did this issue start happening? It started happening right after the November 2020 election. You see zero changes, zero changes, zero changes. Then all of a sudden, January of 2021, right after that November election, 60,000, 200,000, 30,000 changes to vote history records right after the November election. Wow. It's all in the data.
And not only the data, there's firsthand corroboration with Check My Vote's users, because in Check My Vote, any user, any person can go put their address in and see their voting history, and it's transparent to the people. It's public record. And I have the Contact Us button on my website. People put a note saying, hey, why does your website say that I voted absentee? I really voted in person in 2020. And I don't have an answer. I'm just showing you the data that we get from the Secretary of State. And sometimes that actually flip-flops, like Tim was saying, you know, suddenly it'll become like, oh no, you voted in person. And then 2 months later to become absentee again, and it just disappears sometimes. So it's all firsthand accounts in Check My Vote. Users put in their notes. It's not me saying it. It's people are saying it on my website, and the data speaks to it too, like Tim just indicated.
Wow. Yeah, it's not your data. It's the data from the government you're just presenting at checkmyvote.org, checkmyvote.org. And is that's a nationwide thing that everybody can go check their vote, or is this just for Michigan?
It's just for Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee right now. And we haven't launched in other states because just I can't scale. This business is like kind of hit the point where I can't do more than three states. So we're just at three states now.
Well, it's a good start. We need it for all 50 states. And I just hope that people with authority to do something about this are being made aware of it. So I ask our audience to support these guys. Go to checkmyvote.org. You can follow Tim on X at Tim Loves Ann. That's also his Rumble channel, Tim Loves Ann. Fani Mantravati, is there a way people can follow you on X or any other social media?
Yes. Yes, X. I'm at Deluxe Cypher.
At Deluxe Cypher and checkmyvote.org. Well, it's bombshell stuff.
P-S-Y-P-H-E-R.
Bombshell stuff you guys are coming up with, and thank you so much for sharing this with us. And again, I hope that this leads to some action and some corrective measures, because we cannot live in a so-called democracy when you can't tell who anybody voted for and everything can be changed arbitrarily, backdated. It's just astonishing what you guys are coming up with. Thank you so much, Tim Vetter at Tim Loves Ann and Fani Mantravati at checkmyvote.org. Thank you guys so much for coming on and sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stuff, folks. Third hour on the other side. Stay with us.
Therapists in the U.S. say they are seeing increasing numbers of patients with what they call Donald Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump anxiety disorder.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Trump derangement syndrome is clinically real.
It doesn't merely affect individuals, but entire political parties, rendering them unrecognizable.
1 minute, they're perfectly normal. The next, rabid.
The veneer of civilization is evaporating quickly. Families and culture are collapsing. And godless leftists are behaving just like zombies of modern lore.
You can't trust your mother.
Get the hell out of here!
Get the fuck out of here!
Your best friend.
I get that camera out of my face.
The neighbor next door.
Psychologist Dr. Stuart Bassman says for his clients, it started the morning after the election.
Doctors are seeing patients suffering from Trump anxiety disorder.
A number of people are manifesting what I would call post-traumatic stress disorder.
An overpowering fear that President Trump represents the end of the world.
Pray it doesn't happen to you.
Land of the dead!
Rabid.
White males.